Great work, children. Great work. Give them another hand as they're heading off that way. That's the way. Excellent. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. It's good to be here. It's good to see the kids up on stage showing us their dance moves. I participated in many children's items when I was in Sunday school, and it was always the highlight of my parents' year, I'm sure. That was pretty good. I had a moment of confusion during the announcements just then when Pastor Denise asked for my wife Lisa to put her hand up, and I saw Pete Harris putting his hand up. I thought, gee, you've changed, Lisa. And not for the better. But that's all right. Just a momentary identity crisis for Peter there. He's all good now. Morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. It's good to see you all. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read there from just a moment. And we'll get into the preaching of the word. Look out, Pastor Denise is writing me a message. No? No? Yes, you can make a quick announcement. Welcome Pastor Denise back, everyone.
My apologies for interrupting, Pastor Ben. I forgot to announce one thing. Tiana, quickly stand, please. Some friends of Tiana's who don't come to our church have some lovely furniture, a dining chair, washing machine, microwave, couch, TV entertainment unit, those kind of things are really good condition and they're giving them away. So if you know someone or you are in need, please see Tiana straight after church. She does have to go very quickly. So if you miss her, please put your name down at the info desk and first in, best dressed. Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Well, you've heard of Facebook Marketplace, MCF Marketplace, even better. Free stuff. Nothing better than free stuff. Title of my message this morning is The Promise of Last Resort, and I'm going to read a fair bit of scripture this morning because there's one particular verse we're going to focus on, but I love reading what's before the verse and after the verse, yeah? If you read, take a text out of context, all you're left with is a con, so we're going to read and get some context this morning. And so Romans 8:20, you can put it up on the screen because my phone's a little small. Maybe I need glasses, who knows? It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And here's the main verse this morning. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. I call this the promise of last resort. Somebody said many years ago, I don't know if it's true or not, that there's about 2,000 promises in the Bible for you and I. And I haven't been able to disprove it, so I just spread it like it's fact everywhere I go. That's the way the world works these days. There's lots of promises in the Bible. There could be 2,000. Who knows? And but this is the promise that you kind of hang your hat on when all the other promises haven't worked, yeah? Like when you're going through something and you really have no idea where God is and why this happened to you and why things have gone wrong in this way. This is the promise of last resort. We know that in all things, yeah, God is working together for the good of those who love him, yeah? So I don't really understand it. I don't know why. This seems terrible. I didn't plan it this way, but in all things, God's working for the good of those who love him. So play on, I guess. That's what I'm going to hang my hat on. That's all I've got left. You may have been passed over for that job promotion. And you go, oh, well, in all things, God's working for the good, I guess. May have gone through a relationship breakdown. Well, in all things, I don't really understand why that happened or why I'm in this spot, but God's working for the good, I guess, of those who love him. You get a bad diagnosis, or you've been praying for something for months or for years and you've seen no change, or whatever's going on, or the wrong football team wins the grand final. In all things, God's working for the good, I guess, of those who love him. I want to approach this verse this morning because I feel like sometimes the verse gets a little bit misquoted or misunderstood. And there's some great things in and around this verse. And if we know it, we understand it, I think it can help us. The first thing that I think this verse does not say, but sometimes we think it does say, is that all things are good. You know, that only good things are going to happen. How many people know that all things are not good? Yeah? In fact, there's a lot of bad things around. When God made the world, he said it was good. But guess what? God's not the only player in the world at the moment. He's not the only creator in the world. He created creative beings who also create things. Did you know that the devil has works too? If he doesn't have works, why does it say in John 1 John chapter 3 that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work? So the devil has works. There are things in this life that are not good. Some things may have happened to you that are not good. Yeah? You may have been a part of doing some things that are not good. Aside from the devil's work, there's also acts of the flesh. And the Bible says in Galatians 5, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, purity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, the Penrith Panthers, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. All those sorts of things. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the devil's got works. And sometimes, it's not even the devil, sometimes it's just the acts of the flesh. The Bible does not promise that everything that has happened in your life, that everything that you've been a part of, God ordained or God ordered it so. Things have happened to you. You may be going through some things right now that God did not plan, God did not ordain, God did not make, he did not create, he did not put in your life, he did not want it to be there, he does not want it to be there. And if you want to walk around and think that all things that are going in your life that God has ordained and God has made it so, that's not what the Bible says. Not everything in your life is good. And some things have happened to you that are bad. Really bad. They were the works of the devil. They were the acts of the flesh. And this verse that says that God works in all things, for it doesn't say that all things are good, that all things are beneficial. Some things are bad, and only bad comes of them. And sometimes we're trying to make sense of things that have happened to us or that we're going through. And we get a little bit confused and we think, well, you know, I guess God meant for this to happen. No, he didn't. He didn't mean for that to happen. He didn't want it to happen. When he drew up your plan for your life and he wrote down the will of God for your life, he didn't write down, ooh, what I want for this person is for someone to come and totally violate their trust. Tick. Can't wait for that to happen to them. I want someone to come and betray them. Tick. Oh, that'll be good. I want them to get really sick and die young. Tick. That's what I want for them. That's not what he wrote down. That's not his work. That's not what he's created you for. Not all things in this life are good and are of God. The second thing that this verse does not promise is that all things work out for good. You think, well, again. We just read the verse. I'm pretty sure that's what it says. No, we'll read it again soon. It does not promise that all things in your life are going to work out for good. Some things in your life have been created to do you harm, and they will do you harm. The Bible says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, roaring like a lion, seeking someone to devour. That sounds like there's somebody out there who wants to do you a lot of harm, yeah? Sounds like there's somebody out there who wants to destroy you. That means there's things out there that are going to do you harm. They're going to take you away from the will of God, that are designed to crush you, to sow doubt, to destroy this. I'm not trying to depress you this morning. I'm just saying that's all right. We'll get to some good stuff, I promise, okay? Sometimes we take that verse in Genesis 50, the story of Joseph, and I want to thank that person who corrected my spelling here. Can you believe there's some fool out there that thought misapplication was two words? Some fool. As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about the present outcome, that many people would be kept alive. This is Joseph, who's confronting his brothers. You know, his brothers sold him into slavery, and they put him in the pit, yeah? And then Joseph, you know, we know the story. He becomes the prime minister of Egypt in some amazing way and saves the world from famine and all those sorts of things. And Joseph finally sees his brother and says, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, yeah? And we take that verse, and then we think, well, everything bad that is done to us, God must mean it for good, yeah? Well, that's not necessarily the case. This is an example where God has taken that thing and he's God had a plan the whole time. But sometimes the devil is working in your life and there's no reason to praise God for it. He's trying to take you out, yeah? And it's meant to do you harm. Not all things that you're involved in or that you do will work out for good. The Bible doesn't promise that. It doesn't. Bad stuff happens. And it's designed to destroy you if you let it. He said, well, surely God created this world. I mean, isn't he supposed to be in charge? Isn't he supposed to be in charge of everything? But the best way I can explain it is that God is like the landlord of this world, right? He's the owner, yeah? But you know, if you've ever been a landlord, once you rent that place out, that's their place. All the bad stuff that happens in that place during that rental period, well, that's on them. They're in control. They have dominion of the house for all intents and purposes, yeah? They decide who comes and goes out. They decide if any crimes are committed there. They decide how clean it is. If any bad stuff goes down, the police don't come knocking on the landlord's door and take them to jail. It's the renter of the house, yeah? Well, God is the landlord of this earth. But the Bible says very clearly in Genesis that he gave dominion to you and I, yeah? So all the bad stuff that's going on, we've allowed that. We actually have dominion of this earth. Yeah? We're the ones. The devil is not fighting against God. All right? The devil is fighting against you and I. If he was fighting against God, that's over. That's done. All right? God's not trying to defeat the devil. That's done. So the devil's attacking you and I. And the battlefield is the earth. Yeah? This is where it's all going down. One day the landlord's coming back for a house inspection. Right? He's coming to take possession of that which he owns. Yeah? We're going to have this place in good order. But bad stuff is going down all the time. And God doesn't promise that everything will work out for good. Let me read Romans 8, 28. We read it before in the NIV. Let me read it now in the New King James. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that all things are good. It doesn't say that all things will work out for good. This is what it actually says. Number one, the promise we can take out of this verse is that in everything, God is working. That's the first thing we understand. In everything, God is working. Bad stuff goes down all the time. The number one promise from God is, in everything, he is working. Even in the things he didn't ordain. Even in the things that are designed to take you out, God is working for you. You might be a slave in a foreign land, building bricks, you know, and with less straw and less mortar and all that kind of stuff. And you might be totally oppressed. They might have just decreed that all the firstborn sons are going to be killed and thrown into the river or whatever it is. I don't know how bad it is, but I'll tell you what, God is working. God is working. Nobody knew it at the time, but God was working, yeah? God was working. There might be some relationship breakdown. There might be some stuff going on at work. There might be some things in your past. God didn't ordain it. God didn't want it. He didn't draw it up for your life, but God is working. God is working in all things. God is working. The Bible says this. It says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. That was Jesus who said that. My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am. That's a promise from Jesus. I don't know what's going on right now in your life. Some people might be trying to take you out. Some circumstances might be trying to take you out. You might not know which way is left, right, up and down. You might not know the answer. All you know is God is working, yeah? He hasn't abandoned you. He's not up there folding his arms, just thinking, you work it out. I'll stay up here. Now, he's working on your behalf. The second thing we know, and that says in that verse, is that God works together. It says in that New King James, it says, all things work together for the good of those who love him. What does that mean? Why put that word in there? It's actually in the Greek. All things work together. That means that there are some bad things that happen to you, and if you take them in isolation, yeah, no good will come of them. Sin, for example, that sort of thing. But his promise is that he will work things together. Together. Together with who? Together with what? Well, together with you, to make some good come of it. God partners with people. That's his joy, to partner with people. Bible says we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow laborers. There's some stuff that's going on in your life, and it's not good. But God is looking for someone to partner with, that some good might come. He doesn't promise that he's just going to go and snap his fingers and it's all going to work out. He doesn't promise that. He doesn't promise that you know, you miss that job and a better one's going to come the next week. We always say that, don't we? Oh, God must have a better one for you. Yeah? God works all things. That's what it promises. It might be a worse one for you. Who knows? Get to that. He doesn't promise that you're going to have the flash car and the amazing house. And I believe God wants to give good gifts to his children. I believe God's a God of blessing. I believe that. But he doesn't promise that all things are going to work out. He says God works all things together. He's looking for someone to partner with. He's looking for someone to keep going when things get tough, to walk through to the other side. If you just sit down and fold your hands and go, well, God, all things are going to work out. God promised. God's up there and goes, yeah, well, I'm working. Are you? I'm working. I'm working on it. But I need someone to partner with. I need someone to keep treading water, to keep keeping on in faith, even when they can't see the way out. I work things together. So he works with us. I love that in Nehemiah, he says this. He says, I answer them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. That's a great attitude. That's the best attitude to have with working with God, right? Success or failure is in the hand of the Lord, amen? My job's just to keep building. Yeah? The results are in his hands. Amen? He's the one that gives success. So all glory goes to him. I'll just keep doing what he's called me to do. Yeah? Whether it succeeds or fails, it's not on me. It's really not my concern. I'm content to be doing the work that he's called me to do. Beautiful. attitude to have in life. How often do we get depressed and we get upset and we get frustrated when things don't turn out the way that we've envisioned, yeah? The way that we think they should turn out. Well, success and failure is in the Lord's hands. My job is to just keep plodding along, doing what He's called me to do. So He works together with us. He also works circumstances together. You look at one circumstance in isolation, no good comes of it. But He can take a circumstance and link it with that circumstance and link it with that happening and that timeline. And if you look back and go, wow, I can see that now. He's worked things together for the good. Yeah? You think of the life of Joseph. There's nothing good that comes of being sold into slavery, yeah? You look at that in isolation. There's nothing really good in that. That's awful. There's nothing good in being sent to prison for a crime you didn't commit, yeah? You look at that in isolation. That's an awful thing. But if you take that together with a famine, yeah? You take that together with dreams and visions and a little bit of faith and you hear what I'm saying? You put a few things together, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to, is it your purpose? Called according to His purpose, yeah? He works things together. I was meant to share this earlier in my sermon, but because I'm very bad with notes, I'll go back to it now, but had a conversation once with someone many years ago who came through and God delivered them from serious addiction problems, right? Not to sport like me, it was life-controlling substances. And, it tells horrific stories of the things, ruining career and relationships and finance and just... If you've ever been caught up in a life like that, or you know someone who's caught up and it's life controlling and there's no way out and it's just the most soul crushing, life destroying experience, right? But the Lord delivered him of that, and now he tells his story, and God uses him in amazing ways to help people who've got themselves into a similar situation, or to help prevent people getting themselves, and that's great, and we praise God for that, amen. And he was saying this thing, I believe God led me into that life so that I could, and I was like, help, stop, wait. I've got no doubt that God has used what's going on in your life for amazing things. But please don't ever go around telling people that God led you into that life. Please don't ever go around telling people that it was God's plan for your life, that you would go through that, like, that you would make those decisions and that you would hurt so many people and that you would destroy your own life in that way. God didn't draw up your life like that, right? That was the work of the devil. That was the acts of the flesh, right? Now, he's been able to work all things together to bring great from it. But in no way do we glorify God and say that God took me into that. He doesn't lead us into sin. He doesn't lead us into those sorts of things. He's able to take it and make it. He works things together. Amen? He can redeem. That's why he's so good. He's a God of grace and a God of goodness, and he can redeem. But we're still mature enough to say that, no, that wasn't the plan of God for my life. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? God works things together. And here's the third one. Here's the best one of the morning. I know points one and two, pretty average, okay, but point three, this is a good point, all right? God wants to make you good, not to make things good. That's the actual promise of the verse. If you read it in context, he wants to make you good. That's his promise. He will work all things together for your good. Now, we've misapplied that and we've misunderstood it to say that God is going to make all things in my life work out in my favor. Yeah? If I miss a job, he must have a better job for me. That's what the verse says, doesn't it? If my relationship breaks down, he's got a better relationship for me. That's the promise. If my car breaks down, somebody must be about to park a Lamborghini, right, in my driveway. That's what it says, okay? If my team gets defeated, you know, obviously it was the ref's fault. I don't know. This just stuff. We've misapplied this to say that God is going to make all things good. But that's not what the verse says. It says he's going to work out for your good. Read the verses right after it. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God works all things together for the good of those who loved him, are called according to his image. Why? So that we can be conformed to the image of his Son. His plan, his working all things together, is not to give you good things, but to transform you into the image of his Son. That is the greatest good he can do for you. And that's what he is working all things together to do. Is this making sense? There is a process that it talks about. He says, those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. His heart in this verse, his promise that he's making, is that he is working on you for your good. And that means that not necessarily all things in your life will work out, you know, great and happy and dandy, and you won't have troubles and struggles and strife. That's not what he's promising. He's promising that the struggles and the strife, he's going to use them, yeah, to grow you and mature you and transform you into the image of his Son. That's the real promise in the verse. We have any parents here this morning? Yeah, fair few, good. You would know what this is like because you do the same thing with your children. You work things together in your household, not necessarily so that your kid have lots of good things, but many things that you do for their good, yeah? Like when I say to my children, tonight, I've got such a treat for you kids. All things are going to work out for good for you kids because tonight we are having broccoli for dinner. All right? There has never been rejoicing in my house when broccoli is put on the plate. Nobody thanks me and goes, oh, thank you, Father, for working all things. All right? I'm not doing that to give them good things. I'm doing it for their good, to transform their bodies, yeah, into healthy. Yeah? Is this making sense? Discipline is like that. There are certain things I do for my children. I was going to say to my children. For my children. That at the time, they cannot see how any good is coming of this. But I can. Yeah? I withhold things from them deliberately. I frustrate them sometimes. Mildly. Deliberately. I withhold screens, yeah, and playtime and treats. This leads to manifestations, all right? Many manifestations. And I rejoice when I see these manifestations, okay? Because I know that something good is being worked in their life. And I'd rather see these manifestations when they're 5 instead of 25, yeah? Because I had the foresight to work things for their good at a younger age, when I'm bigger than them, yeah? Got to get your wins in when you're bigger than them, all right? Is this making sense? God's promise is to work all things for your good because he's transforming you. He's working on you. The greatest thing he can do for you is not to give you the car and the house and all that. And don't get me wrong, God is a God of blessing. The Bible says he gives good gifts. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Yeah, that's true. It's all good and I believe it all. But even above all the stuff and all the things and all the prosperity and all that and the cattle on 1,000 hills, I believe it all. Even above all that, the greatest thing he can do for me is he can work on me and he can transform me into the image of his Son. And that is the good that he promises in all things. He'll work together for the good. Why? To transform us and to make us. So with that in mind, look again at the things you've been through. Look again at the things you are going through. Yeah? Are we expecting good things? Is that what we're hanging our hat on? Or we're asking God, what are you making in me through this? That stuff that happened to me, that stuff that maybe I did. Are our eyes focused on, well, God, what good are you making of that with our eyes out there? Where's the good that you're bringing from that? Or are we turning the eyes inward? Say, God, what can you make of me through that? What can you change in me through that? What was I supposed to learn through that? Hey, the greatest work that happened in Joseph may not have been that he saved all those people from famine. Maybe the greatest work in Joseph was that he was able to look on his brothers after all those years and forgive. Yeah? Where he went from boasting Joseph, from proud Joseph, to, hey, I see now, I forgive. Yeah? Maybe that was the greatest work God did. Maybe that was the work God was most proud of in that whole situation. Was not what was done through Joseph, but what was done in Joseph. Is that making sense to anyone? The Bible says, be confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He is always at work on you. None of us have attained it yet. We are not a finished product. We've got rough edges. We've got failings. We've got flaws. We stumble, we fall, we doubt. Yeah, is it just me? None of us have attained it yet. And until the day of Christ Jesus, his promise is he's not going to stop doing the work in you. Yeah? He's not going to stop doing the work in you. We are too focused on the work we want to do. We're too focused on external things, on external victories, external failures. Where God is all the time looking at, hey, my prized possession is you. And that's who I'm focused on. And that's who I'm working on from day one to day finish. So what should we do then? What should we do? How should we respond to that verse if we've read it in context and we understand it? Well, here's what I think we should do. It's just a couple of things. You might have other things. You might, the Holy Spirit, who's a better preacher than me, might put a few other points in your heart. Number one, we should give thanks in all circumstances. We should give thanks in all circumstances. The Bible actually says, in everything, good thanks, because this is the will of God for your life. If you're needing a word of God this morning for the will of God for you, I just had it right there. Give thanks. Give thanks. I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know what stuff you've been a part of doing, or that thing you can't get over, or that thing that's stealing your joy, or whatever it is. But in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. What is that one thing that prevents you from giving thanks? What is that one thing that steals your thankfulness? God wants to get us to a point. His will of God is to get us to a point where there is no thing that prevents us from giving thanks. That's how you know you're maturing in Christ and you're getting somewhere. Because your thanks is not dependent upon things or circumstances or victories or breakthroughs. Your praise is just constant. Your thanks is just it's just there. Those things don't enter your mind, you just give thanks. That's the will of God. That's what he's trying to get you to, that place where you don't actually need the breakthrough. You don't actually need the answer to that prayer that you've been praying for months and years, maybe even decades. You don't have to wait for that thing to change. You just give thanks. That's the will of God for your life. My point wasn't that bad, was it, guys? And the second thing we should do is we should change our prayer. Our prayers so often are consumer prayers. God, I need this changed. God, I need that changed. God, I need this answer. God, I need this breakthrough. God, I need this circumstance upended. God, I need this revealed. I need, you know, that's how we pray. And they're real needs. And there's nothing wrong with asking God, don't get me wrong. God loves it when we bring our concerns and our prayers and we ask him for things. But the heart behind all the prayers, yeah, shouldn't be that our joy and our and is dependent upon these things, but the real prayer should be, God, not how can I use you, but God, how can you use me? Not God, what out there needs to change, but God, what can you change in me? Is this making sense? It says in Philippians, it says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You ever prayed that prayer? Jesus, I want to participate in your sufferings, becoming like you in your death. That's not a prayer of prayed commonly. Usually I'm praying for everything to go right. Usually I'm praying for better stuff, better things. I'm not in the habit of praying, God, please, let me participate in your sufferings that I might become more like you. It doesn't roll off the tongue as easily. But that's a prayer, isn't it? That's a prayer. Instead of, God, I want this, I want that. God, what do you want? What do you want in me? What can I learn? Who are you making me, God? What is it in my life that you want to change, that you're working on right now? When God works all things together for the good of those who love him, I just kind of feel like he's had something else in mind that we've had in mind for a long time. That the promise isn't that everything in your life is good, that you'll never have a bad day. The promise isn't that you'll never struggle with huge obstacles, that people won't betray you, that you won't make poor decisions, that Christians will never have relationship breakdown. That's not the promise. Yeah? You'll never be overlooked for that promotion. Your business will always be fair weather. Yeah? It's not the promise. And the promise isn't that if those things do happen to happen, just say that word and God will fix it. That's not the promise either. God's promise is that through it all, he's working. Yeah? And he's working it together with you. Not necessarily to make everything beautiful and easy, but to make you beautiful. That's his real goal. That's been his goal the entire time. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He's never leaving you. He's never forsaking you. Even when stuff was designed to take you out, even when the most evilest things came into your life that he didn't plan, that he didn't ordain, that he didn't put in the script, his promise is, hey, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be there. And if you let me, we'll use it together. We'll do something with it together. Yeah? And you'll come out of it different. If you let me, if you give it to me, if you let me put my finger on it, if you let me breathe on it, hey, there's going to be a lot of pain, there's going to be a lot of stress, there's going to be a lot of torment. It's not going to be easy. But if you let me, if you let us work on it together, I can make some beauty come of it. And it might necessarily be seen out there. It might necessarily manifest in better things, in more prosperity or something like that, but it's going to be a work that I do in you, yeah? Because that's my real goal. Has that made sense to anybody this morning? Why don't you stand to your feet? To know that everybody's got something that isn't good in their life. The devil's trying to take everyone out. I don't have to be a prophet to know that everybody's got struggles. Yeah, we're all walking a different journey. I've got You got struggles. I don't have to be a prophet to know that everyone's got something in their past they're really not proud of. That for many people it still has a hold. And there may be questions in your life going, I still don't understand why that happened to me. I still don't understand why that was brought into my path. Yeah? And many people have questions like that. But I know the promise is God is working. God wants to work with you. Yeah? God is working on you for your good, to transform you into the image of Christ. If you feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning, we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm not going to call anyone out. But I feel like there's some people that just need to make some decisions this morning on a few things. I say, Holy Spirit, I choose today to see it in a new light. I choose today to give it over to you afresh. I choose today to change my prayer from fix it to fix me, yeah? If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to include you in my prayer this morning as we just pray together. Hands going up. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you, you are the comforter who sticks closer than a brother. Lord God, we pray. Lord, we pray for ourselves. Holy Spirit, that you'd strengthen us. You'd give us the power, Lord, to believe, to trust, to rely on you this morning. Lord God, we call out the works of the enemy. Lord, we forgive for laying at your feet. Rather, we ask forgiveness for laying at your feet the works of the enemy. Lord, for some of us have blamed you for the works of the enemy. Our decisions and the consequences of our decisions. Oh God, we want to give that over and say, hey, we don't want to think like that anymore. Holy Spirit, come reveal the truth to us. Help us to see where you're working. Give us faith to know that you are working even when we can't see it this morning. We're praying for breakthrough. Now the devil's been lying to people in the house. He's been lying to people. He's been telling lies about circumstances and things, and those lies have kept people bound because you've been agreeing with the lies about why things happen and how things happen and where God was when things happen. Holy Spirit, we pray you break the lies and the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we give ourselves over afresh. We ask that you do a work in us. Every single day you do a work in us. Make us like you, Lord God. Make us like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's worship.